This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi, everyone. This is Tammy Taylor at PBI's Law Firm Pro Bono Project. We'd like to welcome you to our conference call discussing the 2012 Law Firm Pro Bono Challenge Report. We are going to go over some of the highlights and answer some questions that have been submitted through email. And we encourage, as we go through this call today, we encourage you to continue sending any questions you have. Send them to Rena. She's monitoring. Her email is rglazer, it's R-G-L-A-Z-E-R, at probonoinst.org. Just one little note, we won't be answering any What Counts questions today. Send those in writing to me, and I'll be happy to answer them after the call. Due to the number of people that have signed up to the call, and we thank you all for joining us today, we won't be opening the phone lines to the questions, but do submit them through email. As all of you know, this was our first electronic-only year for collecting data, and it led to some of the new and interesting questions that I know you submitted at the time you were reporting your data. Some of those we'll talk about a little bit today. Others I'm happy to answer in email after the call. And from now, we will turn it over to Esther Lardent, President and CEO of PBI, and she can give us a little talk on the challenge report and some of the findings and what we think it means.
Thanks, Tammy, and welcome, everybody. We have been tracking data and statistics from your reporting on the pro bono performance of large law firms since 1995. And as far as we're aware, that is the richest treasure trove of data and statistics, consistent data and statistics that exists out there. So we have both a longitudinal view of where we stand in the 15 or more years that we've been collecting this information. And we've also tried to look at the reports and the statistics and the data in the context of where the legal profession, and in particular large law firms, are now. And just to sort of talk about that larger environment a bit, which I hope will not be duplicative since many of you live in it every day. Obviously, we are no longer in the Great Recession or a global economic crisis, however you want to term it. But this, I think, the last few years have been, for the economy generally and certainly for the legal economy, a very odd and difficult recovery. I would say most people would characterize it as fragile and sometimes surprising and somewhat unpredictable. And we certainly see that in some of the statistics that are underlying the pro bono for performance information that we have. So that, for example, headcount at firms at the approximately 133 or so firms that reported to us this year, which, by the way, is virtually all of the firms that are signed on for the challenge. Again, something we very much appreciate. Headcount was down. Obviously, some of that is due to very significant change in the way that firms view and hire new associates and laterals. So the makeup of firms, the sheer demographic makeup of firms in terms of years of experience and where firms are getting their lawyers has changed dramatically. As I'm sure you all know and feel, this is likely the most competitive economic environment for law firms and the business of large law firms that has ever existed. Clients took advantage of the pressures of the recession to rethink how and when they would compensate their outside law firms for work. And that is reflected probably every day in negotiations and billing situations. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. More and more clients are looking to a broader range of firms, including regional firms, and they're shopping around. And there's just no question about that, which, again, creates a level of competition and uncertainty. In general, I think what we've seen is uncertainty is not a great climate for pro bono. People can be distracted even when the firm's leadership is and continues to be very strongly supportive of pro bono. The fact that there are so many other things going on that can divert their attention can have an impact. And the fact that this does appear to be an economy in flux and in change, I think, always makes people a bit nervous. And certainly for younger lawyers, the fact that the partnership path is no longer predictable and sometimes not even desirable, I think also has an impact. So all of that is to say that we are in a somewhat confusing and uncertain time, and that has an impact on pro bono. What we're happy to see from the reports that we received, and let me just say these are supplemented by our more substantive conversations with many of the firms that we work with, is that despite all of those uncertainties, despite all of those changes, law firm pro bono continues to be very strongly supported, well institutionalized, often very creative and dynamic. There was, in terms of average hours per attorney, it was a 1 hour uptick in average hours per attorney, but again, kind of steady state, a tiny little improvement, but that's a very good thing. What we also saw was that participation, again, despite the pressure to for both associates and for partners to become business generators, participation rates really stayed quite level, which is terrific. Associate involvement declined somewhat, again, I would say not surprisingly, given the sort of larger environment that we talked about, but partner involvement increased slightly. So, and we know that that is a very important indication of the level of seriousness with which firms take pro bono. I think one of the other things that is particularly significant when we look at the statistics is that almost half of the law firms that reported to us increased their performance in 2020, and I think that's important because what it tells us is even with a complex and challenging environment, it is absolutely possible for firms to flourish and for pro bono to flourish. It takes attention and care. It takes a rethinking, often a realization that the dynamics of the firm, the nature of the pro bono practice, the nature of the docket, all have to be rethought to some extent because of changes that have gone on in the firm and the legal market just generally, but that it can be done. And in some ways, I think this is a little bit of an overstatement, but in some ways what we're seeing is it's a little bit as though we have a kind of a divided atmosphere. We have some firms that clearly are struggling in terms of this pro bono environment. They are not feeling as secure in their pro bono efforts. They are not perhaps functioning as smoothly. But then many, many firms that are doing very well and that are very creatively increasing their efforts. So to some extent, obviously, that could be a function of individual firm history and economics. To some extent, location and community and local culture can play a significant role, including what the pro bono opportunities are where your offices are located. But having said that, I think what we see is a situation where pro bono can and should be thriving for everyone. One of the things that has happened in the almost 20 years now, I guess, years that we've been collecting this information is that we have become far more sophisticated about data and statistics. And so that enables us to make sure that the information that you provide is as accurate, uniform, as possible. It also means that we have done more and more to review that data and to clean up, if you will, any math errors that may occur there. And let's face it, we all went to law school probably because we, you know, math and science were not necessarily our best subjects. And also to look at anomalies. And so we've gone through with the help of expert statisticians. We've really gone through a process all the way back to the beginning of the challenge of cleaning that information so that we can be as confident of it as possible. What that's done as well is to make us very aware of how presenting certain information and certain numbers in a certain way can be misrepresented and can be inaccurate. So, for example, we relied in the early days of the challenge a lot on total number of hours and, in the totality of pro bono hours performed. And we certainly continue to publicize that figure, and it's not an unimportant figure, but if the headcount at your firms goes down and pro bono goes down, that's an intervening important event that we have to be aware of. So you can't really say, as the American Lawyer said, pro bono is down. That's really a kind of overly simplistic way of looking at it. Where we've really seen that sophistication come into play, and an area that is an area of very real concern for us and where we need your help, is that the number of firms who are reporting one of the required areas, and we try not to ask for too much from you. We really do. We understand that this is not everybody's favorite thing. And we really do try to be careful in what we ask for. But one of the critical areas is not just the your performance in terms of pro bono, but the amount of pro bono that you've undertaken for, in shorthand, for the low-income community. It's typically either low-income individuals, legal aid types of clients, and the community organizations, housing development organizations that provide food programs for the poor, that sort of thing, the organizations that serve that community. And the reason that we made the decision to particularly not only look at pro bono more broadly, but to look at legal services for the poor is because even when we started the challenge in the 90s, that was the area of greatest need and demand. Some law firms were working in that area. Many were not. Many were more focused on and wonderful and important pro bono work in the environmental area or civil rights, all terrific work. But here we had this enormous number of people and institutions who were going unrepresented. So we made that a critical mandatory part of the challenge and challenge reporting because we felt that that area deserved a special area of emphasis. And this year, for the first time, we found that not enough of you were reporting out low-income pro bono, separating it out, and giving us what we thought were reliable information. More than just a kind of a, looks to me like, but something where we felt that there was actually some informed judgment behind what of the totality of pro bono work you did, how much of it was legal services for the poor. And because of that, although we had numbers, we did not report those numbers because we felt that they were subject to misinterpretation and they frankly just didn't have sufficient statistical reliability. We don't want to do something that is not reliable because we're so focused on making sure that the statistics are meaningful. And one really important thing that we want to do is to enlist your aid in not having that situation happen again. Here we are, as I say, almost 20 years later, and we are probably in the worst crisis in terms of legal services for low-income people we've ever seen. The cuts in legal services, federal legal services funding, the cuts in IOLTA, the increased number of people in poverty, all of that means that that need for pro bono services is even greater. But without your cooperation and without solid information from you that we can then slice and dice and analyze, we don't know how much of a problem we have systemically in terms of focusing on low-income individuals and organizations. And we need to know that. This is not a nice-to-know thing, I think, for the law firm community and for the legal aid community. This is a critical metric, because understanding more about what's going on, and if there is a disconnect, as we suspect, between what the program's clients, legal aid program's clients need, and what the law firms are somehow receiving in terms of requests and opportunities for pro bono, we need to act on that. We need to figure out how to resolve and improve that disconnect. But we can only do that if we really understand what's going on. And so that, I will tell you, is the subject of a great deal of concern here. We will be working with all of you. It is not difficult, honestly, to in the software programs that most of you are using to track time. There are ways in which, without driving yourselves completely crazy, you can separate out in a thoughtful, reasonable way the low-income pro bono from other kinds of, governmental pro bono and that sort of thing. Many firms do that. We're prepared to provide technical assistance and help you with that. But it is something that is really, I think, for all of us, very, very important to do in order to ask the question, what difference is your pro bono work making? Where is pro bono needed, and how can we make sure that the resources are going in the right way to resolve problems and provide justice in the best way that we know how? So a couple of other things that I just mentioned about the report, and I don't know if Tammy wants to mention anything else, but we do, and you'll see it in the report, which all of you have received electronically. We do some regional breakdowns by, and I realize that this is an anomalous and at this point outmoded term, but home office. So what we do is we look at where your largest concentration of lawyers is, and we slot you as a regional, in a region based on that. There are some significant differences in the number of firms that are challenge signatories in various regions. many of you would tell us, and we understand this, that you have no home office. You are citizens of the, you know, legal citizens of the world or legal citizens of the U.S. You're not tethered to any home base. We do that to some extent just because there really are community differences. And our struggle is to try to refine and bring a little more detail without in any way breaching our commitment to you that we will not provide this information on a disaggregated basis. So it's the regional information is there. It needs to be looked at with a grain of salt because of all those reasons that I mentioned. The one other thing that I would mention, and again, we're a little bit cautious about this because we've gotten so much more sophisticated about relevancy in statistics, and that is the an optional question, which about half of the firms answered, about charitable giving. We all know, again, that the recession and the period after the recession, which have been challenging for big firms, has been devastating for the public interest organizations that are the source of pro bono clients, expertise, mentoring, all of those things that are, so critical to making pro bono work in your organizations. And we have strongly encouraged, as part of the challenge, strongly encouraged firms to and their foundations and other tools that they use for charitable giving to, as much as they can, link their charitable giving to the organizations with whom they also partner on pro bono. And we've certainly seen a significant uptick in that, but this year is a lower year. Now, again, because we only heard from half of the firms, we can't draw any great conclusions. It's still relative to, 18, 17, how many years, every years it is, of data, a strong year for giving, but it's definitely something we want to mention. So, Tammy, do you want to...
We have a few questions that have been submitted, and maybe I can throw them out there after you can think about addressing one or two of them. One that we get all the time is how much time you spend answering questions, requests for data, and why can't we all who are requesting that data get on the same page and request it in a uniform way? I will say that we have tried and continue to try to get everyone on the same page. I don't know if you want to add more than that.
I think that's a very good question, and I would agree with what Tammy has said, which is we certainly have tried our best to bring some coherence and rationality and uniformity to this process. But to be perfectly honest, with very limited success. So I think the biggest area where we've been successful and effective is with American Lawyer. And frankly, to be perfectly blunt about it, I would say that the two, there are myriad places that are now asking for information about pro bono. There are probably strangers in the streets now who are stopping you and asking you for your pro bono performance the way things are going. But I would argue that the two most important survey sources are American Lawyer, simply because it is, love it, hate it, or try to ignore it. It's there. People are reading it. It's the basis for the A-list, which every firm chair and managing partner claims never to care about, and all of them could probably rattle off for you, who the top 20 firms are on the A-list. So it is important, I think, in that sense. And I would put us in the same category for two reasons. The first is because of the quality and thought and sheer longevity and richness of our database. That really enables us to understand much more about what's going on in pro bono. But again, also because you're not giving us information to benefit us. You're giving us that information to benefit you, because we can then reflect it back to you in terms of obstacles that, and how to overcome them, successful approaches, trends, and the like. We have talked to other groups. We've talked to NAB. We've talked to law schools. We've talked to bar associations. And unfortunately, in part because our ethics rules are such a patchwork, and vary jurisdiction by jurisdiction, and because people care about this issue, we've seen this, you know, increase in number of requests, and everybody has some special thing that they want to know about, and state definitions of pro bono vary, and we know that. So, you know, we're happy if you have some thoughts to try to rationalize this process. As I say, I think the most important thing really is that what you've prepared for us and for the American lawyer is consistent and the same, and I think we'll continue on that way.
Okay, some of the other questions that we've received would probably fall into a category of, we need to talk with you individually. These are more in-depth questions. Just to give you some examples of some of the questions that we received, how can we partner with our clients in a meaningful way? We'll be reaching out to those folks who did submit that question and working with you individually, but we did get your question, thank you. Another one was, how do firms with multiple offices but without someone designated to run pro bono in those offices increase your pro bono efforts? So we will reach out to you as well and try and help you figure out the best way forward when you're not on the ground in every office and you can't possibly be. And then I think we can just do a little conclusion here. And
Let me mention one question that I saw that I think is an intriguing one, and that is, what's next for the challenge? Which I think is a very good question. So the Law Firm Pro Bono Challenge was actually developed by your peers. It was developed by a group of law firm leaders working over about a two-year period, redrafting, arguing, redrafting. No definition, no statement is perfect, obviously. But I would say that the challenge, when we look at the results and when we talk to people about its value as a benchmark, has fairly well withstood the passage of time, despite many, many changes in, again, the legal marketplace and large law firm operations. Having said that, and many of you will have noted that we are extremely reluctant to change the challenge, although we have at times made some changes and we have changed the commentary and added to the commentary. We're reluctant because each one of those changes in terms of your record keeping and statistics, again, complicates things and changes things, and then once again we go through a year where we're not all that confident with some of the data and we begin our cleaning and anomaly clear up process once again. So in order to really make the data meaningful from a longitudinal perspective, we're really reluctant to do it, and because it's hard to keep re-explaining to people what we're doing. Having said that, though, you should know that our reluctance doesn't mean that we're oblivious. We are constantly taking a look at what's going on in the law firm environment and asking ourselves whether enough has changed that we need to be looking at the challenge. And some of those things that we ask ourselves about are very profound questions. For example, if in fact This certainly hasn't happened yet, but if we reach a tipping point in terms of the way that corporate clients want to negotiate compensation for work from their outside counsel with discounted fees, value-added, et cetera, so that billable hours really, really lose their strength as a sort of underlying measure of what clients are paying for. We're not at that point, but if we get to that point, that is something that's going to be very important for us to take a look at, because that is, in fact, the percentage of billable hours is one of the important metrics for the challenge. And if that is not a meaningful metric in the larger law firm world, we need to take a look at that. The fact that firm lawyers no longer come in two or even three flavors. First there were associates and partners, then there were income partners and equity partners and associates. Now there are income partners, equity partners, associates, special counsel, staff attorneys, you name it, contract attorneys. And so the whole question, again, of whether or not changes in firm makeup accents have become so important. We're seeing some firms ramping up pro bono outside the U.S. Again, still not at a level, I think, where change would make sense, but, we could get to the point at where we start to count pro bono hours throughout the firm and not simply in the U.S. offices. That's an option right now that firms can undertake. No one wisely has taken up that option because it would wreak havoc with your average hours per attorney. But it is something that we will continue to look at. So this is not a static environment, and even though we try to be very, very careful about changes, what we're doing is not static either, and we want you to know that. So your thoughts about the challenge and about how it's constructed and that sort of thing are valuable to us, and we'd love to hear about them. And we're conducting our own sort of examination and testing and due diligence all the time to figure out, to make sure that what we're asking you to report is, in fact, meaningful and useful and translates then into better guidance and suggestions for you about your pro bono program. So, and with that, Tammy, do you want to talk a little bit about how people can get help if they want to see their, if they want to do better in terms of the challenge?
Well, one of the big things that we will be rolling out in 2014 is a dashboard of your challenge performance over the years that your firm has been a challenge signatory firm. We've got some drafts right now that we're working out some of the bugs on, and I know I showed some of you some very rough spreadsheets of your data when I visited this summer, but we'll have some very nice looking dashboards, I hope, to share with you when we come on house call visits, should you give us a call and ask for one. So that I hope will provide you with enough information, and we can take a look at where you started, what your trajectory has been, and where you are now and where you want to end up, and work that into some of the other goals you might have both for the pro bono program and the greater firm as a whole. And so I think that will help inform some of our discussions going forward in 2014. So that'll be a big, I think, boost and one of the reasons that we've been working so hard to clean up the data. So that's one big thing. Other things that you can do is, like I said, give us a call if you'd like us to come visit. Rena and I are very happy to do so. We can do them on individual firm basis. We can do them as a group. Obviously, we wouldn't discuss any confidential information in a group setting unless it was just your firm. We are happy to answer email questions at any time. make sure that you're checking in on the clearinghouse. Our resource clearinghouse is up and functional, and there's new materials going up there all the time. We are happy to help you with any strategic planning that you're trying to undertake. Again, the dashboards that we're going to be putting together for you, I think, will help with that. One of the big things, a big push for us is, Esther kind of alluded to the fact, we're almost at the 20-year anniversary of the challenge. 2015 will mark that 20th anniversary, and we want to do so in a big way. And so to the extent that you're able to help us, we would like to recruit some more challenge signatories to join us, join you. And so we will be coming to you to ask for some help in getting your peers on board with this. I think those are some of the big ways. We're always here to help. Just give us a call, send us an email, and we'll be happy to help you out. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. If you have any questions after, certainly drop us an email.
Have a good day.
Bye.